salvation for those who seek to find the one and only source of peace and understanding of why we are here, who created us, who we must fear. So what a wonderful world this would be if we all opened our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
So Rasulullah came to free people so that they do what they should do, what they can benefit from, what can give them happiness in dunya and akhirah. So yada'u anhum asrahum wal aghlal allati kanat, all the chains and locks which were chaining up humanity, Rasulullah removed them. فالذين آمنوا به وعزروه ونصروه واتبعوا النور الذي أنزل معه أولئك هم المفلحون. So those who believe in this man, man of virtue, man of makarim al-akhlaq, man of freedom, and help him and support him and follow what? Follow the book which has been sent with him, the Quran, which is light. وَاتَّبَعُ النُّورِ. This Quran is light. These are the people who are happy. These are the people who have had falah and salvation. May Allah inshallah include us among them. So ma'roof is something which is good, which is right, which is supposed to be done, and munkar is opposite. Of course, after you receive guidance from Islam, after you are introduced to Sharia, you can have much more elaborate account and understanding of ma'ruf. You can have a detailed account of ma'ruf and munkar from Sharia. That helps us to refine and get more accurate understanding of Sharia. So now I want to refer to the section on Amr al-Ma'ruf wa Nahy al-Munkar in the manual. All our maraja have this in their Risala, and but this is according to Ayatollah Sistani, Hafizahullah. So he starts with an introduction, and he says Amr al-Ma'ruf wa Nahy al-Munkar are two of the greatest obligations. Two of the greatest religious obligations. Then he refers to the ayah that we discussed, وَلْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَّا الْخَيْرُ وَيَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Then he quotes a hadith from Rasulullah. You know, when a marja quotes a hadith, it's very important. It means that this hadith is 100% verified by marja. لَا تَزَالْ أُمَّتِي بِخَيْرِ مَا أَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَّهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِ. Rasulullah said, my community, my nation will be always in right condition as long as they do Amr al-Ma'ruf and they prohibit Munkar and help each other to do good. تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِ. They help each other, they assist each other for doing good. فَإِذَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا ذَلِكَ, if they don't do this, نُزِعَتْ عَنْهُمُ الْبَرَكَاتِ, Allah will take away His blessing. Then you would see there would be poverty. There would be so many disasters. There would be tyrant governments. وَسَلَّتَ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ نَاصِرٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Then Allah will make bad people rule them. Then they would have no helper in on this earth nor in the sky.
I'm looking back throughout the years to breathe is hard and my eyes are choked with tears. Your face and hair are full of light. Now it will soon be time to go. I feel you feeling calm now. Did the angel let you know?
Oh Allah, please send your salutations to Muhammad and all Muhammad. Please give shifa to all people who are ill. Please give shifa to people who are ill in their body and in their soul. Oh Allah, please send your rahmah, your forgiveness to to all who have passed away, especially brothers and sisters who were attending these majalis in this community and other communities, our parents, our foreparents, our teachers, our ulama, our maraji, those who have passed away. Please let them be with Muhammad and Ali Muhammad right now. And please give long life and blessed life to the parents and to the teachers and maraji who are alive. Oh Allah, please make the last moment of our life the best moment of our life. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
My ummah, he will say, Rasulullah on that day, even though we've strayed from him and his way. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, let's struggle, work and pray. If we are to bring back the glory of his way. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
In the limelight. Crematoriums in New Delhi, India are being inundated with so many bodies that they have been forced to build makeshift funeral pyres on spare patches of land as the COVID crisis sweeping India led to an explosion of new cases. Crematoriums across the capital, New Delhi, are struggling to cope, with grieving relatives forced to wait up to 20 hours for a funeral pyre for their loved ones. The article you're about to hear has been written by staff at The Guardian, with Agence France-Presse also contributing. The piece is titled India's COVID Crisis, Delhi Crematoriums Forced to Build Makeshift Pyres. Stay with us for more of the article by The Guardian. Crematoriums in New Delhi are being inundated with so many bodies that they have been forced to build makeshift funeral pyres on spare patches of land, as the COVID crisis sweeping India led to an explosion of new cases. Crematoriums across India's capital are struggling to cope, with grieving relatives forced to wait up to 20 hours for a funeral pyre for their loved ones. In New Delhi, photographs taken on Tuesday, 27th of April, showed smoke billowing from dozens of pyres lit in a car park that had been turned into a makeshift crematorium. Elsewhere, workers built makeshift pyres on land outside crematoriums. "People are just dying, dying, dying," said Jitendra Singh Shanti, who is coordinating more than 100 cremations per day at the site in the east of the city. "If we get more bodies, then we will cremate on the road. There is no more space here," he said, adding, "We had never thought that we would see such horrible scenes." Trees in parks were being cut down to use in funeral pyres as relatives of the dead were being asked to help pile up wood. 27 new pyres have been built in the capital's Sarai Kale Khan crematorium, and dozens more were being added in a nearby park. Officials were also looking for additional space near the city's Yamuna riverbed. The Hindustan Times said families were waiting up to 20 hours to cremate their loved ones, as crematoriums were full. India Today said that crematoriums were expanding to manage the surging death tolls. India recorded yet another day of over 300,000 new cases on Tuesday, 27th of April, and 2,771 new deaths. However, health experts believe the official toll is far higher, with populous states such as Uttar Pradesh and Gujarat accused of undercounting COVID-19 fatalities and cases. As the death toll mounts, the night skies in some Indian cities glow from the funeral pyres. Crates of ventilators and other oxygen devices from Britain were unloaded at a New Delhi airport on Tuesday, among the first emergency medical supplies to arrive in the country, where infection and death rates are growing exponentially. The explosion in infections in India, 350,000 new cases were recorded there on Tuesday alone, has driven a surge in global cases to 147.7 million. The coronavirus has now killed more than 3.1 million people worldwide. The World Health Organization, WHO, said on Tuesday that a variant of the COVID-19 feared to be contributing to the surge in coronavirus cases in India has been found in over a dozen countries. The United Nations Health Agency, WHO, said the B.1.617 variant of COVID-19, first found in India, had, as of Tuesday, been detected in over 1,200 sequences uploaded to the GISAID open access database from at least 17 countries. Most sequences were uploaded from India, the United Kingdom, the United States, and Singapore, the World Health Organization said in its weekly epidemiological update on the coronavirus pandemic. Many countries are now shutting their borders to travellers from India. Belgium became the latest, also banning travel from Brazil and South Africa, similarly hit by fast-spreading coronavirus variants. Spain said it will impose a 10-day quarantine on all travellers arriving from India, beginning on Wednesday, 28th of April. Australia has also cut all passenger air travel with India, suspending flights until at least 15th of May, leaving a host of high-profile cricketers stuck in India after playing in the lucrative Indian Premier League. In Fiji, an outbreak of the Indian variant of the coronavirus has forced the capital into lockdown after the island nation had avoided infections for a year, with health officials saying they now fear a tsunami of cases.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
The month of Allah presents Ahkam, Islamic Commandments of Fasting by Hujjatul Islam Khakdaman.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, hello and welcome to our program. I'm very happy to have another chance talking to you about the Ahkam in month of Ramadan. Well, the previous episode I talked a little bit about traveling and being a traveler and passenger and what are the influences and consequences that it has in Ahkam regarding prayers, regarding our specific topic, which is month of Ramadan and fasting. This time I'm going to look at it from another window, from another perspective, and that's the fact that the whole traveling thing in month of Ramadan is advised not to do. Or as we say, in our religion language, it's makruh, means it's advised not to do it. It's advised to avoid it. Now, why is it? Because the intentions and aims are different in this matter. Some people travel in month of Ramadan because they want to go to a place which has a better weather. It's cooler, it's easier to tolerate the hunger and the thirst of Ramadan. Some people go to another city. They travel only because of, pulling the obligation of fasting, not to fast, because probably the days are long and it is hard for them to fast. Some people want to travel to be with their relatives and to have other experiences or have fun or in any way actually hinder and weaken the experience and the difficulty of this hardship of thirst and hunger and the other limitations that we have in month of Ramadan. When you study and think, especially when you go to the Holy Prophet and his household, peace be upon them all, when you go to their accounts and study about the special characteristics of month of Ramadan, about the qualities that it has, about the open hands of God, about the mercies and blessings and extra givings that God has in this month, you don't want to deprave yourself of these possessions. You don't want to come out of it with your pocket empty, right? So I know that there are some necessary trips, and I will be talking about them. There are some exceptions. There are a couple of travels that are very, very recommended to do. The Holy Prophet has recommended them, and we're going to talk about them. But a lot of travels that are done in this month are not because of our religious purposes, are done probably because it is hard to fast. But when you think about, for example, this fact that in the period of fasting, the Muslim that is fasting, whatever he wants, God will give that person. The activities that you do are accepted. The prayers that you do are heard, and God will answer to you. When you think about them, you don't want to lose this opportunity. But at the end, there are some exceptions. For example, going on a pilgrimage. For example, going to Karbala or Medina or Mashhad, to these sacred places to as a pilgrim, right, to the shrines of imams, peace be upon them. These are not normal trips. These are not travels that are going to, take something from us. No, they are going to give us much more. So if you find opportunity in the month of Ramadan to go on a pilgrimage to imams' shrines, for example, the shrine of Imam Hussein or Imam Ridha or Amir al-Mu'minin, peace be upon them all, go absolutely. Don't let any kind of doubt or confusion come to your mind. It is very recommended. But if traveling is because of otherworldly purposes, then it's really best for you to avoid them. Thank you so very much and goodbye.
Once every 100,000 years, gold is created from the collision of neutron stars. Mysterious gold instantly melted into humanity's desire, contained the magic which enabled civilizations to flourish and fueled the desire that made people venture across oceans. But why do we lust after gold? And does humanity own gold? Or does gold own humanity? I'm Daniel Arya, and this is Aperture. For centuries, gold was the economic index which dominated the world before it lost to the dollar. But the 2008 financial meltdown has brought gold back from oblivion. Gold is now dominating the world once again, but why is it gold again? In 2008, gold woke up from its deep, dark sleep. As the dollar became unstable during the U.S. financial crisis, people rushed to gold. And in August of 2011, the twisted destiny recurred. The new gold rush started again. pursuit has begun once again. And stay with us as we take a look into the history of gold from its glittering past to its sudden return. Gold.
That is gold.
King I king or
gold.
Gold.
With gold.
Gold.
In oro.
The oro.
Oro.
Into gold.
Sold gold.
Gold.
Gold price.
Gold mines.
Gold is undervalued.
Currency, which reflects human instincts, is very much alive. Money gained humanity's passionate desire since its creation. Money was at the center of wars and economies. Its origin can be traced back to Mesopotamia. Thousands of years ago, Sumerians were the first ever to develop trade. Since then, many types of currency have appeared in history. Trading goods for goods appeared first. Grains, essential for everyone, were used as currency in many areas. As time passed, smaller objects were used for trading to facilitate easier transportation and exchange. Various metals became the new currency, as they were easily transportable and did not rot. But not all metals were permanently stable. In the end, gold, whose value was accepted consistently as a stable metal, became the best currency. Gold, which is evaluated by its weight and purity, has no exchange rate or nationality. Due to its high value, large trades were made possible with just small amounts of gold. It was the best currency that was accepted everywhere. In 700 BC, the kingdom of Lydia, which ruled Turkey, became the birthplace of the best invention in the history of currency. The capital of the kingdom was Sardis. It was the hub of the East and West, and as trading became important, the need for currency grew. Lydia dominated Asia Minor. It expanded its boundaries as the ancient empire, securing the trade route linking an area of over 2,700 kilometers. Lydia invented the world's first gold coins, using their abundant resources of gold, and built an affluent kingdom.
And this started with King Croesus of Lydia, which is a very famous name, and he really produced the first gold coins and used it particularly to pay soldiers and military people.
In the early 7th century BC, Lydians minted the world's first coins. Gold coins, which feature a lion's head, the symbol of Lydia, became the kingdom's representative export goods. As the world's first gold coins and the world's first empire currency, Lydia's coins spread through Asia Minor and Greece. They became a necessity for trade in the Mediterranean. Goods, art, people, and knowledge gathered in Lydia, and humanity's first retail businesses began. With a single shiny gold coin, people were able to buy horses or delicious food. It also reduced shopping time. A new world had opened up for humanity. But if the Lydians were the first to invent coins, the Greeks were the first to turn coin making into an art form. Each city imprinted its own unique symbols. They were the symbols of national strength. Greek coins circulated the Mediterranean through marine commerce. Gold coins brought revolutionary developments in commerce and became the foundation of civilizations. Education also developed quickly along with the coins. Years after the birth of gold coins, the currency revolution moved to Rome. Coins featuring the emperor's face, as well as other royalty, were widely used among laymen. As the territory of the Roman Empire expanded, the amount of gold attained through looting and mining grew exponentially. Consequently, the Romans issued more gold coins, and these coins strengthened the empire. Gold coins were what built the Roman Empire. In 395 AD, after the Roman Empire divided into two, Western Rome collapsed within the next 100 years. However, the surviving Eastern Rome continued to write history for another 1,000 years. Constantine the Great moved Rome's capital to Byzantium and founded the Byzantine Empire. Constantine the Great, who reunited Rome, declared freedom from religion and chose Sunday as a day of rest. He also issued a new gold coin called Solidus. This is Byzant, the best currency. The Byzant, with a 98% purity, weighed 4.5 grams. The Byzant was the basic currency of the Middle Ages that everyone could trust and use. It was the longest surviving currency in history.
Really ran from about 500. Well, really 300 AD, but 500 AD in Istanbul itself, and lasted for almost 1,000 years, really with the weight and the purity of it unchanged. There were some years when it was a problem, but It did last almost for 1,000 years, the Byzantine solidus. It was a thousand year coin, if you like.
The Byzant was the revenue source to maintain a large army and the means of controlling the empire. That is why the Byzant is called the dollar of the Middle Ages. The dollar of the Middle Ages surpasses today's dollar in terms of stability and value. While today's dollar faced a crisis within 100 years, the Byzant survived for 1,000 years. The Byzant was the partner that supported the kingdom for 1,000 years. The value of gold transcends time and space and gives faith to people. But there was a critical weakness even to gold, the best currency. There is a limit to the production of gold, and there are three ways to overcome the limit. One was to endure the lack of currency, and the other was to bring in gold from other regions through trade and loot. The last method was currency degradation, by making more coins with the same amount of gold. People began to deceive others by making new coins using clipped edges of existing coins.
And up until 1696, coins were struck onto a rough blank. So you used to be able to, if you're a very unscrupulous silversmith, you could clip the edges and get free silver. And so there were many laws that were passed to try and stop this. And in 1696, what they did was that they made sure that all the coins were circular with a milled edge. So that stopped the practice of coin clipping.
This is the origin of how the coin edges look today. Clipping of coin edges brought many problems. The value of currency fell, and prices began to inflate. New coins had to be issued to win people's trust. Sir Isaac Newton stepped up to solve all these problems.
And one of his big responsibilities was to prevent forgery. So one of the ways he did that was by making sure that all the coins had a milled edge around them, because if the edge is milled with little grooves, it's impossible to clip off a little bit of the coin.
The grooves on the coins that Newton made are used on today's coins as well. The grooves mark the human greed for gold. Gold, however, was never used as the main currency in the East. As the value of gold developed the currency system in the West, brass coins backed by the government played a similar role in the East. Whether it be gold or a brass coin, if the receiver had trust in it, that was enough. People had faith in the government. The first coins in the East were made during the Jin Dynasty. They believed the sky was round and the land was square, so they made a round coin with a square hole in the middle. This shape became the basic shape of Eastern coins for 2,000 years. The trust of currency gave birth to the world's first paper money in China. Gyoza, issued in Buxong in 1023, was the first paper money. When Emperor Kublai Khan of the Yuan Dynasty mass-produced bozhou and circulated them through Eurasia, the era of paper currency began. Paper money was made of paper, but it ceased to be just ordinary paper. Kublai Khan is described as an alchemist in the travels of Marco Polo. Paper currency was like magic to the Westerners who were using gold coins. During the Yuan Dynasty, the government forcefully retained gold, silver, and copper, and with its guarantee, paper money was issued. With the circulation of paper money, less money was spent on producing coins, which led to a better financial status of the government, and thus led to a more active commerce. Replacing the gold with paper money opened up a new golden era in the East. At the end of the 15th century, gold had cast a spell on people and made them cross the oceans, risking their lives. But the lives of Europeans were also shaken up by gold. At the time, the population, which had been devastated by the plague, was bouncing back. Price of commodities was also increasing. Moreover, as gold and silver from the New World poured into Europe, prices soared uncontrollably. The price revolution of the 16th century began. Treasure from the New World created a large gap between the rich and the poor.
And this is at a time when that is much more than a week's earnings in the late. It's more like 2 weeks' earnings. So it is a lot of time to earn the smallest coin. And therefore, ordinary people do not have gold coins. It is something for the rich to have.
Prices quadrupled and sextupled. First, landowners who received a consistent amount of rent went bankrupt. Farmers who didn't have money to rent land became wage laborers. On the other hand, the royal families and noblemen enjoyed an unprecedented extravagance. Gold instantly spread throughout European countries, and in its wake, only collapsed industries and financial crisis remained. Such was the curse of gold. The price revolution continued on for over 100 years without any resolution. It was the longest inflation in history. When commerce expanded and capitalism developed, a barter economy emerged. A system of an exchange of promissory notes for foreign currency began. 48 types of gold coins used in Europe in the 16th century were all exchangeable. Thus, financial innovation was propelled by the power of gold. In the early 19th century, gold faced a new era. Money was dependent upon the value of gold. A system of gold and money exchange emerged. Since then, history repeatedly introduced and discarded the gold standard. In 1819, England pegged the value of pounds to gold and circulated paper money that could be exchanged for gold at any time. By 1870, most countries had adopted the gold standard, and the pound, which could be exchanged for gold, became the key currency around the world.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می‌کند ذکر خداست، ذکر الله تطمئن می‌کند.
Be aware. The hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. I invite you to listen to a short part of Chapter 9 of the book Sirr-Salat, The Secret of Prayer by Imam Khomeini. One of the factors which cause the perfect presence of heart is watching time and being punctual for prayer before Allah Almighty, and the spiritual wayfarer enabling to devote all his time to Allah at least 5 times of his time daily should be specially reserved for praising and worshipping to meet Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we are with another program of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini. Today we have a saying of Imam Khomeini in which he is saying that for anyone who does something wrong, there is always a room for repentance. God's munificence is endless. Basically, what Imam Khomeini is referring to is the door of repentance, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened for us. Generally, the scholars, they say that when a person does tawbah, which is repentance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does twice a repentance towards the man while he is doing a repentance towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawbah, technically or literally, it means to turning back towards someone. Now, why they say that Allah does twice tawbah and we do once, it's because that first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the courage or the tawfiq, that generally, obviously, we use the Arabic word. He gives us the tawfiq to do the tawbah. So this is the first time when Allah returns towards his slaves, his creation. And he give a specific person a tawfiq or courage or a chance to do repentance.
كم أهواك يا شهر الصيام أنا لن أنساك فأنت في قلبي دائما تمضي الأيام ودعائي كل عام ربي تقبلنا يا ربي بلغنا بلغنا رمضان Thank you.
When this person does the repentance, he does tawbah or astaghfar in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah returns back again and he accepts his tawbah. So basically, we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once, but he turns back towards us twice. And this is from the sunnah, this is from the, we can say, blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even when we perform one deed, a good deed, he rewards us 10 times. It is the practice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he does that with us, he does that to us. So basically, for anyone who has done something wrong, we are in the month of Ramadan, this month in which we are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is the host. He is our host, and when he is the host, then you can imagine what kind of rewards he has for us. When he is the host, how he will give us the reception. And one of those things, that one of those receptions, the things that is for us, is the repentance. Therefore, we all need to do the real repentance or tawbah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to seek forgiveness from him so that we can have his closeness, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Belgian chocolate maker has come up with the idea of chocolate bunnies in the shape of vaccine syringes to spread hope during the coronavirus pandemic. Geneviève Trapon makes the chocolate bunnies at her workshop in a village south of Brussels. She has dubbed the chocolate syringes Lache à Aztec. I hope I pronounced that correctly. This is not the first time the Belgian confectioner has been inspired by the pandemic to create art. Last year, she also put white masks on its Easter bunnies to keep the spirit alive amid a worsening pandemic. Trapon says she came up with the idea of syringe-shaped bunnies after the first coronavirus inoculations in her country at the end of 2020.
Why did I decide to create the chocolate vaccine? We are still in a period of COVID-19, and it was the logical continuation of the little masked rabbit from last year. Back then, nobody was talking about vaccines. At the end of that year, we started talking about a vaccine, and I thought the rabbit should be vaccinated. It's a symbol of hope, and that's why I decided to create the vaccine.
Trapon says her works show natural health benefits of chocolate. She believes that the chocolate version, like a real vaccine, has enough positive effects such as anti-depression, nutrients, and magnesium. Many of us have missed air traveling, though, due to the coronavirus pandemic. Now, a South Korean airline has opened a restaurant offering in-flight meals on land. The Jeju Air restaurant resembles being in a flight with mock plane windows and boarding gates. It serves popular onboard meals such as rice and chicken. Customers have hailed the creative idea, saying the experience reminds them of the joy of travel. Having food in the imaginary flight costs around $9 for each person. The temporary diner will run for the next 3 months. Let's go to the Philippines to meet a man having a big, colorful collection of Happy Meal toys. Percival Log has been into collecting toys since he was 5. His collection includes around 20,000 toys from fast food restaurant chains like McDonald's and Burger King. Lug also holds a Guinness World Record from 2014. The 50-year-old graphic artist says he always takes good care of his beloved toys. He believes each toy has a story inside.
Toy is like a storyteller in itself. Like, for example, it gives me a glimpse of that particular period when I got it, my story, what's going on, what are the incidents that are attached in the acquisition of that particular toy.
Lug says his family and friends also help him broaden his collection by donating toys. He hopes to display his toy collection for the public to, quote, give people a chance to revisit their childhood memories.
People around the world have been grounded by the coronavirus, with many being forced to work from home. But the Scottish man has made his secluded cliffside a perfect spot against a pandemic-induced change to working habits. Jason Griffin's 34-year-old call center consultant from Glasgow has put remote working technology to the test by moving his office to a dangling shelf off the Irish Sea. His move is seen as an attempt to give rise to the digital nomad, meaning people can use technology to work from wherever connectivity is possible. Griffin says as long as there is a mobile connection and his laptop, he has everything he needs to do his job.
Today we are pushing the technology to its limits because we're going over a cliff face. We're abseiling down to a ledge, and I will be working all day from that ledge and taking and making calls, interacting with internal staff, just showing that remote literally means remote.
Griffins has set up a temporary office on a cliff face to prove that its performance is as good as a busy office. Call centres are one sector where remote working and technology has kept companies connected to customers. But the digital revolution has seen an inclination towards working remotely. The pink supermoon has glowed over different landmarks all over the world. The phenomenon lit up the sky in different countries from Greece to China on Tuesday night. The supermoon occurs when a full moon is closer to Earth than usual and therefore appears bigger and brighter in the sky. The term was first coined by an American astrologer in 1979. When the supermoon rises in April, it's called a pink supermoon after a pink wildflower that blooms in the eastern parts of North America. According to NASA, the next supermoon will come in less than a month on May 26th.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Large chocolate reproduction of Picasso's iconic painting of Guernica has gone on display in the Basque country town. A steady stream of residents has visited the artistic work created by 40 Basque chocolatiers. The work of art is expected to stay in Guernica until it tours different Spanish and European cities. The move marks the 84th anniversary of the bombing of Guernica in northern Spain by Nazi Germany. Picasso painted Guernica to portray the suffering of people and animals wrought by violence and chaos. Upon completion, Guernica was put on display at a Paris exposition in 1937. Lebanon has unveiled its first indigenously produced electric car, which is also the first ever car manufactured in the country. The red sports car Quds Rise is named after the Palestinian holy city of Jerusalem Al-Quds, which remains under Israel's occupation. The car is adorned at the front with a golden logo of the Dome of the Rock, signifying the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. It's the project of Lebanese-born Palestinian businessman Jihad Mohammed.
نعم عمك
We have two sources of electricity. There is the state's electricity that there are the generators, so we pay to 10 recharging stations, and we are looking for secure places to install them.
The company hopes to start a production of up to 10,000 units of his electric sports car in Lebanon later this year. Jad Mohammed says his long-term goal is to compete on international markets for hybrid and electric cars, as well as to make sales in Lebanon. In a remote part of Pakistan, two sisters have come up with a unique idea to help children continue their education during pandemic-related school closures: a camel library. The mobile library visits four villages in Pakistan's largest province of Balochistan. Children borrow books and return them the next time the camel visits. The project was founded by a local high school principal and his sister. Rahima Jalal says she started the project because she wanted children around her remote hometown to continue learning despite schools being closed.
When the coronavirus spread, the entire region and all the schools were closed. There was an atmosphere of depression for old and young alike. The region where I live, there is no entertainment for children at all, no place for outings. The only activity is the children going to school and coming back home. After the schools had remained closed for 8 or 9 months due to COVID, we started wondering what we could do for the children. How could we start some sort of activity which would keep children busy and also be of some benefit to them?
Pakistan closed the schools early in 2020 due to the coronavirus pandemic and sent some 50 million school and university students home. The closures put children in Balochistan at particular risk of falling behind, as the province is Pakistan's most impoverished. Even though some schools have reopened, children in this region still have trouble accessing educational resources. NASA's Ingenuity Mars helicopter has successfully completed its third flight on the red planet while moving farther and faster than ever before. It was nothing short of amazing, says the Ingenuity Projects program executive. The drone covered 50 meters of distance, reaching the speed of nearly 2 meters per second. In its latest flight, the helicopter filmed 80 seconds of video, which are to be sent to Earth in the coming days. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration says similar flights are yet to come, with each planned to be of increasing difficulty in order to push Ingenuity to its limits. The experiment will end in 1 month in order to let Perseverance return to its main task, searching for signs of past microbial life on Mars.
When spring arrives, nature is lively and in bloom. This generous season brings with it merriment for humans and animals alike, as they can freely enjoy the greenery. A herd of cows in Sweden have gotten their first chance to graze in green open fields after being cooped up in their farms for the whole winter due to the harsh cold. The event was broadcast live so people could enjoy watching these happy animals springing around. Sweden's traditional cow release ceremony attracts thousands of visitors every year.
Barcelona's famous Casa Batlló has been decorated with hundreds of artificial red roses on the occasion of St. George's Day, a Christian celebration also known as the Feast of St. George. For those in Catalonia, the floral decoration of Antoni Gaudí's architectural masterpiece means the arrival of spring. Many locals say that after a year of lockdown amid pandemic, the decoration seems like a recovery for them. Catalans normally celebrate the occasion in large groups outdoors, but this year, COVID-19 has prevented their traditional way of celebrations. However, they say Casa Batlló's roses have sparked a sense of enthusiasm that life is eventually going back to normal in some ways.